He is a kingmaker to the extent that I think his TV show will now become a go-to place for the candidates. And he will be a figure that the serious candidates will need to court. I don't think he has any real king-making ability in terms of endorsements, but I think he becomes a required step for a candidate. You've got to deal with Huckabee and his showbiz and media essence. If you want to be Mitt Romney, you got to make up with Mike Huckabee and go on his show, for example, if you want to be president. So I think that. And I also think it's still possible that whoever gets the nomination in search for a running mate eventually might need to consider him if there's certain geographical, regional, or balancing sorts of things that he could provide. And it'd be interesting to see, if faced with that prospect, if Huckabee would be interested in that. It'd be interesting to see.
New regional and national polling suggests that the Republican wave that swept last year's elections may be subsiding as key independents and women move back to the middle ground or even towards Democratic candidates. It's a little early to be decisive, but clearly something's at work.
Nationally, I believe the pendulum, which is apt to swing back and forth many times between now and November 2012, is now swinging to the Democrats because, first, of the bin Laden action, but secondly, because, as you say, women, some independent voters, have recoiled a bit, I think, at probably an overplaying of their hand by the Republicans with this privatizing of Medicare, or semi-privatizing of Medicare, which was put out there, which became sort of a defining issue for the new Republican Congress, and which has now essentially been abandoned because it's not going anywhere. So politically, it was an unfortunate mistake for the Republicans, and it has cost them the prevailing public mood right now with that key demographic. If we vote today, Obama gets reelected nationally, as he does. And if we had voted 6 months ago, perhaps he wouldn't have been. Part of it has been Laden, part of it is the Republicans in Medicare and a backlash against that. Arkansas, as always, is different. I think we remain tipping Republican. The Republican consultants say their polling shows the same thing it showed last year, just a little less intensity. People aren't as mad about health care as they were, they're not as scared about the economy as they were, but they still are, just less so. But I think our tipping to a red state continues in Arkansas.
Big news in Arkansas late last week. Federal Judge Brian Miller ruled that it was time to end nearly $70 million in annual payments from the state to three school districts in Pulaski County for desegregation purposes. Is this decision monumental?
We don't know yet if the order by Judge Miller is monumental, because it was out of the blue, it was unexpected, it is unclear in some of its applications. The issue of whether the state may cease paying this extra large sum of money to these districts was not argued in recent pleadings. A ruling in that regard was not expected, and how it would apply fully is not clear in the order. I think we've got to wait to see if there are any rehearings or then obviously somebody's going to appeal it before we know if it's monumental. It is, I'm making a little semantic difference, it's not yet monumental, but it is a major moment. For 30 or more years, we've dealt with federal courts trying to fix the Little Rock schools to get them desegregated and to get the achievement gap narrowed between minority students and majority students. And during that time, we've not desegregated, we've resegregated, and the achievement gap has not been narrowed substantially, if much at all. So it's obvious, and now we have an African-American judge saying it's not working, it hasn't worked. And sort of, and seeming frustration in his order, he's saying, we're just gonna stop this. So that's a major moment, and it just goes to show that we're beginning to admit that you can't fix society's cancer with federal courts and with extra money. I think that's what we're beginning to realize. This ruling may not be the end statement on that, but it's a major incremental step in our coming to terms with that.
Finally, legislative redistricting, the redrawing of 135 House and Senate seats by the three-person Board of Apportionment, raises its profile this week as public hearings around the state get underway. What are we likely to see in the legislative redistricting arena?
The legislative redistricting process is always sort of closed. We went through the legislature doing the congressional redistricting, and it got a lot of attention because of the Fayetteville finger and because we're dealing with four districts that people can understand. When you start drawing 135 districts, 100 House districts, 35 Senate districts, you get into a lot of minutiae and a lot of complex maps, and you could have little bitty Fayetteville fingers all over the state, and you really wouldn't know it. And rather than a public process, which the congressional redistricting largely was, legislative is done basically by three guys, or in this case two, who work with their staffs and then show us what they've done, and we have some public comment about it. I remember in 1980, we had a Republican governor and a legislative redistricting. Attorney General Steve Clark, Secretary of State Paul Revere did it, and Frank White complained that they never even bothered to tell him what they were doing. I think what's going to happen this time is that Governor Mike Beebe and Attorney General Dustin McDaniel are going to do it. And they have it in their desk drawer somewhere, the way it's going to be. And Mark Martin, the Republican Secretary of State, who has made four or five blunders that has not helped his situation, is not going to have anything to do with it. We may see, because of the strange population shifts in the state, situations in which two and three incumbents, particularly on the House side, get put into the same district. And it'll be interesting to see how partisan, how pro-democratic Beebe and McDaniel dare to be in that process. It'll be most interesting to see. That's what I'm looking for. Not who's affected or how are they affected, but does it look like they're playing a partisan hand? That's the only thing that might be a problem for them, because it's generally agreed by those two guys, particularly Beebe and McDaniel, that the Democratic Party overplayed its hand with the Fayetteville finger, and they'd said, why don't y'all pull back, as they eventually did. We'll see now how they play the legislative redistricting, where mischief could be more nuanced and under the radar.